Let's look back tonight to 1 Peter chapter 1. On the nights when we observe the Lord's Supper, I try to bring a message that is somewhat shorter in time, because I believe the Lord's table itself, the ordinance, is a message. It's a message that we see. Now, I don't always achieve that goal, but that's what I start out to do. But the message tonight I want to bring to us is a message that I preached in Mexico in June. The precious blood of Christ. La sangre preciosa de Cristo. That's the message, if you will. Look tonight in verses 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. We celebrate and remember the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in this supper. We're thinking about being redeemed, and redeemed not with corruptible things, but with the precious blood of Christ. And I have four questions around which we can organize our thoughts tonight about the precious blood of Christ. First, what are we to understand by these words, the precious blood of Christ? What are we to understand by these words? We understand that this signifies his death. His death. In Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, we read, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood." That is, the life of our bodies is in the flesh, is in the blood. When you go to the doctor for a checkup, what is one of the first things they do? They draw some blood, because they can tell a lot about us by our blood. And when we observe the Lord's Supper, the Apostle Paul tells us that we're showing forth the Lord's death. That's what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Well, how do we show the Lord's death in this supper? How do we show it? Not just speak it, but show it. How do we show the Lord's death in this supper? When they uncover the cloth in just a few minutes, we will show forth the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will do so because the wine, which represents his blood, and the bread, which represents his body, will be separate. They will be separate. The wine on this side of the table and the bread on this side of the table, the life of the flesh is in the blood. When the blood is taken out of the flesh, out of the body, there's death. That causes death. So that's the thing that we understand by the words, the precious blood of Christ. We are talking about his death, the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know from the Word of God that he was circumcised on the eighth day, and in being circumcised, he would have shed blood. But he did not die. He did not die. It was the shedding of his blood which resulted in his death. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. That is, the shedding of his blood to death. The separating of his blood from his body. So that's the first thing. What do we understand by the words? We are redeemed With the precious blood of Christ, we understand that we are redeemed by His death. By His death. Second, why is the blood of Christ precious? My blood, your blood, is precious to us. My blood's precious to me, and your blood is precious to you, and our blood is precious to our families. But my friends, our blood is not precious in the sense that His blood is precious. Why is the blood of Christ precious? Well, first of all, it is precious because of who He is. His blood is precious because of who He is. His blood is the blood of the only begotten Son of God. What do those words mean? Only begotten. The only begotten Son. You know that the angels are sometimes called sons of God. There's one verse that tells us, in the day of creation, when the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God, that refers to the angels, all the sons of God shouted for joy. Believers, we are, to as many as received Him, to them gave He the power or the privilege to become or to be called the sons of God. Believers are the sons of God, but neither angels nor men are sons of God in the sense that Christ is, as the only begotten Son of God. God has one only begotten Son. He has many sons. How many angels? I don't know. How many believers? I don't know. John said there were more than we could number, the believers that he saw. But I know this, I know He has only one only begotten Son. This is His blood, the blood of the Son of God. He is God's Son who is one with the Father and the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God who is eternal. And He was made flesh, John said, and dwelt among us. In His incarnation, that is, Him becoming flesh, being made flesh, the person of the Son. God is one, and yet there are three persons in the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it was only the Son who took into union with His person the body which God the Holy Spirit had prepared Him of the Virgin Mary. The Son of God, He took into union with His person that body. And though we recognize that He has two natures, He's both God and He is man, yet what is technically true of only one, that is, what is technically true of Him only as man, and what is technically true of Him only as God, is spoken of His one person. Now let me show you that. A primary example of that is in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The Apostle Paul here speaking to the elders of the church at Ephesus, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he, what's the antecedent? God. God, which God hath purchased with His own blood. But God is spirit. God doesn't have blood. No, but the God-man does. And it was with the blood of the God-man, and it's here called the blood of God, that he purchased his son, his church, rather. So why is the blood of Jesus Christ precious? Because of who he is. Who he is. You say, preacher, you say that quite often. I sure do. And if God lets me continue to preach, I'm going to continue to say it. Because I want every one of us to know that our Savior is God. And we come here to worship God when we worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he's not God, he is not our Savior. And if he is not God, then we are guilty of idolatry when we worship him. He is God. And his blood is precious because this is the blood of the only begotten Son of God. Number two, it is precious for what it accomplished. What did the blood, what did the death of the Lord Jesus accomplish? Well, let me show us five things here tonight, hurriedly. Five things that the blood of Jesus Christ accomplished. And this will show us why it is precious. Number one, the blood of Jesus Christ redeemed his people. That's what our text tells us here. Redeemed his people. And notice it says, from their vain conversation. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. His blood is precious because it redeems his people from our vain conversation. Now, what does that mean? Our vain conversation. Well, I believe the best way to understand this is to take that proverb that says, there is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Every way which is an invention of man, it only leads to bondage, and it's vain. Every way to make ourselves right with God, and men have invented, and everyone has one, every man has one. He may be the most so-called irreligious person in the world, but his vain conversation is his irreligion. That is, he trusts in that. And God, his precious blood, redeems us from that vain conversation, that empty conversation, that false and empty way that we thought. Remember that scripture in Ecclesiastes says that God hath made man upright, but he hath sought out many inventions. Every man has his own invention, his own way of making himself right with God, finding his way back to God. Well, the blood of Jesus Christ redeems us from that vain conversation. Number two, the blood of Jesus Christ, his precious blood, redeems his people from the curse of the law. Look at that in Galatians. And let's look at these other places. In Galatians, it'll take just a few minutes, but let's recognize why his blood is precious. We sang that hymn just a moment ago. He is so precious to me. Amen. He is so precious to me. Why? Because his precious blood redeems us from our vain conversation. And number two, it redeems us from the curse of the law. God's holy law. Cursed be everyone that continueth in not all things that are written in the law for to do them. And we've broken that law. That law cursed us. Look at what the blood, the precious blood of Christ does. Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And how did he redeem us? With his precious blood. As it is written, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Number three, his precious blood justifies justifies his people. Look back in Romans, two places here in Romans. Romans chapter 3 first, and then in chapter 5. His precious blood. Why is it precious? Because it redeems us from that vain way of living, because it redeems us from the curse of the law, and because it justifies us. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, the apostle said, being justified freely by his grace. Now notice, through the redemption. There's no justification by God of a sinner apart from the redemption, the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And look in chapter 5 of Romans and verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, being declared righteous, justified in the presence of God. How? By the blood of Christ. Oh, it's precious, isn't it? And number four, his precious blood reconciles us unto God. Notice that in verse 10 of chapter 5 of Romans. His blood reconciled. For if, when we were enemies, you know what an enemy is? We were enemies. For if, when we were enemies. Enemies to who? Enemies to God. Enemies to God. That's what the scripture teaches. We were reconciled to God. How? By the death, by the precious blood of Christ. Isn't it wonderful to be reconciled to God, to be at peace with God? Therefore, being justified, we have peace with God. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Isn't that a blessed thing? It's all accomplished by the blood of Christ, isn't it? By his death. Reconciled to God. Go home tonight, lay your head down on your pillow, and go to sleep knowing it's well. It's well with my soul. Say ye unto the righteous, it shall be well with them. And the last thing, the blood of Jesus Christ, it's precious because it cleanseth us from all sin. Look there in 1 John chapter 1. You know the verse, but let's look. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That word cleanseth is in the present tense, isn't it? It cleansed us yesterday. It cleanses us today. And it'll cleanse us tomorrow. God's children. You say, you mean our past? I mean our past sins, our present sins, our future sins. There's only one thing that cleanses from all sin. And it doesn't cleanse from most of our sins, from all. All sin. The third question is, now listen to me. What do we mean? I said, ask first of all, what do we mean by the precious blood of Christ? We mean his death. And number two, why is the blood of Jesus Christ precious? And I've given us five things. And number three, is it possible that the precious blood of Christ was shed in vain? Is it possible? You know, there are some who answer in the affirmative. They say yes. They say yes. It was shed in vain. It was shed for some who were already in hell. It was shed for others who have since gone to hell. Is it possible that the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, was shed in vain? I must say, no, no, no way. And I believe I can show us that from the Word of God. It's not just my opinion. My opinion isn't worth a whole lot. But the Word of God is worth everything. And the Word of God is clear as far as I'm concerned. In Isaiah 14 and verse 24, this is what we read. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. The death of the Lord Jesus Christ, now listen, it accomplishes all that God purposed. Whatever God purposed for the blood, the precious blood of Jesus Christ to accomplish, we may be sure it accomplished. Because this is His word. Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. Matthew 26, the Lord Jesus Christ said, when He instituted the Lord's table, He said, for this is My blood of the New Testament or the New Covenant, which is shed for many, for the remission of sins. Take your concordance sometime and just look up that phrase, as many as. Those three words together, as many as. What a blessing just to see those verses that tell us as many as. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. The promise is unto you and unto our children and to as many as the Lord our God shall call. I believe there's some others. What a blessed truth, right? This is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. In Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 11, the suffering Savior, who is also the victorious Savior there, He shall see of the travail of His soul, and shall be satisfied. By His knowledge shall My righteous servant justify many, for He shall bear their iniquities. Is it possible that the precious blood of Christ was shed in vain? No, no way. We sing William Cowper's hymn sometimes. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Dear dying Lamb, Thy precious blood shall never lose its power till all the ransomed church of God be saved to sin no more. And the last question, what is celebrated in heaven? What are they doing in heaven right now? What are they doing? What will we be doing in heaven by the grace of God? Well, let's look. Revelation chapter 5. I tell you, it's not free will they're going to be celebrating, that they're celebrating. Oh, no. Oh, no. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying, with a worthy with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power." Riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard us saying, "Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever." And the four beasts said, "Amen." And the 24 elders, that's all the church of God, all fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Now I must close with this question. Is the blood of Jesus Christ precious to you? Is it? Is it precious to you? Is the blood of Jesus Christ all your hope, all your salvation? One of the hymns, the writer said, "His blood, which did your sins atone, for your salvation pleads, and seated on the throne, he reigns and intercedes." Is his blood precious to you tonight? I trust that it is. And if it hasn't been in the past, that just now, by the grace of God, you might look to Christ and you might say, "Dear dying Lamb, you came to save sinners. Save me. Let your precious blood now cleanse me from every sin." May it be so. I told you.